It is that time of the morning, and woof, Jan, don't take my head off. Goeiemôre, hoe gaan dit? Jan Roel, Paul Roelofse is a certified financial planner. Sorry, just got caught up in that conversation there. Are you concerned about it, Paul?
Well, when in terms of Poppy, I'm not concerned. Look, it obviously has a benefit. But, you know, the onus, it's another sort of hoop to jump through for business. And, you know, the regulatory environment around business today is really, really tough. You know, the compliance issues, the regulations to be in and stay in business. And this is just another layer which business has to contend with. And, you know, what it doesn't speak to is making business easier. But I think on the upside, it certainly does offer some form of security and protection around information.
Yeah. Okay, let's chat to you. You are saying back to Financial Planning 101. Mr. President, has he replied?
Not yet. No, we'll beat the drum a little louder, I think, and just hopefully someone will hear it across the roads. But we talk about this economic recovery plan, Jeremy. It was issued or presented on Thursday. And I think just try and personalize it into personal financial planning, which is what we talk about every Monday. I think there's some aspects around the sound financial plan which this particular plan did not meet up to. I think if you look at the final analysis of it, you know, it's a 100-page document which was delivered out with a whole bunch of promises and wishful thinking. And I think it left South Africans pretty much, you know, aghast as to, you know, so what? How does that affect me and my household? How does that affect me and my children and my family? And I think somewhere in it, we've just got to try and maybe make sense of it in terms of how I feel it didn't meet up to what a successful financial plan is. And that's why I called it back to financial planning 101. And the first area, let's just look what a financial plan should and attempt to do. A financial plan looks at where you are and where you would like to be somewhere in the future. And then you make a plan which you implement step by step on how to get there. And in our space, this particular presentation that the president gave us on Thursday was full of, you know, hindsight. It had a little bit of foresight in it. But I think it lacked a lot of insight in the context of how do you get there? And for example, I mean, how do you commit yourself to a sufficient, secure, reliable energy supply in 2 years? You know, 24 months, we're going to turn Eskom's woes around. Yeah. Do you buy that, Jeremy?
No.
I don't think every South African, every South African is not going to see that, you know. And we know the problem that and how deep and steep it is there. But, you know, to stand up in front of the nation and say, oh, we commit to this and it's, too, yeah. So straight away, I think what happens there is you start losing credibility. Hmm. A sound financial plan certainly has that. It has credibility. It has a belief in it that it is achievable, it is realistic, and therefore that implementation can be, you know, achieved.
The key word for me there is realistic. Yeah. This plan looks good on paper. Yes, it's been done by consensus, the Ramaphosa style, but the implementation and the being realistic about the financial situation, the money in the bank is there is nothing. Nothing in the country.
Mm. Mm. And again, you know, it speaks to another aspect of a good financial plan. It's peace of mind. Mm. When you step back from a financial plan, it gives you the peace of mind that, you know, you're on the pathway now to some form of financial success. You initially want to set out to maintain your lifestyle and improve it, for that matter, in the face of any life-changing event. Now, coming back to this plan, how do we create jobs? You know, well and good to say we're going to have 800,000 jobs as a result of it. But how? You know, how will we be saved from debt? You know, that big debt that's being projected. You know that in a few years' time, our debt to GDP is projected to be 141%.
Right.
That is huge. Now, how do we curtail that, Jeremy? How do you get it back? Good to say that we're going to get debt under control. But where is it in the plan and where is it in the realism of it? You know, that's what that particular plan doesn't speak to. It doesn't speak to the how. It speaks to the what, but not the how.
Do you think Cyril Inc. is looking, and we know that in the past there were pledges made in terms of, I think it was close to 100 billion or something, you can correct me on the figures, but like less than 10% of those pledges were actually paid in terms of helping the country to recover. Is Cyril Inc. doing some wishful thinking and also nudging the private sector to say, fund this for me, please? We need you.
Well, I think you've got to look at all the resources, because we really don't have any at government level to implement. We've got to go and borrow more, and that's the thing. I think they've committed about $1 trillion to this particular plan and to get it off and up and running. Now, that's another trillion that's got to come somewhere. So what do we do? That's another aspect of planning. You know, we don't restructure, and I think this is a real opportunity lost. You know, we didn't look at some really, after COVID, some bold moves to really restructure our economy. And I speak to things that are very realistic, Jeremy. I mean, you look at schools. Maybe the school modelling is outdated now, and after COVID, we learned that we can actually do quite a lot on the net. Why not do something brave, like put tablets in the hands of young children and have free data portals for education, you know, that delivers to those particular tablets, and have a really good nationwide schooling, you know, with some very good teachers. One teacher can teach the whole of the country, really, on that platform.
Yeah.
So there's no strain on resources. There's no strain on anything. And you're accessing education, which doesn't need a school and it doesn't need a university. I mean, we could get fees can fall very quickly, in that particular model.
I think there are two things that stands out for me. This ERP, this economic recovery plan announced by the president, it didn't give me peace of mind, because as a layperson, and I'm no finance expert, just as a taxpayer and someone looking from the outside in and taking my personal experience in terms of budgeting, etc., and finances, and just multiplying that on a macro scale, I can see it's not going to work. But also, there's not the courage to change and do something really different with this economic recovery plan. And that concerns me. It bothers me.
Oh, very much so. You know, on the subject of tax, you know, the average layperson, well, the average South African is on his knees financially. The household debt is really up to its highest levels. And now to come back and say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do a solidarity tax, which will impose on the already strained taxpayer, and that'll be a 3-year project to recover some more money. Now, straight away, that says to me, well, hang on, you're just going back to the old. You know, you're not reinventing yourself. We're removing, we're doing the same old thing. And I don't know if there's much money left in that tax base. You know, the other day I saw a stat, Jeremy. Of the total taxpayers people in South Africa, 3 million taxpayers contribute 90% of the income tax. Now, I don't know if you can get much more out of that. You know, the blood is out of the stone already, so I don't know what more you're going to try and do to attempt to get some more revenue there. And again, you know, it's like I agree with you, I align with you, and I align with all those households that are going to say, well, you know, I'm just battling to get through. Are you telling me now all we're going to do now is just up the tax scales, so that we can get some more revenue? It just doesn't align. And I don't think our overburdened taxpayers can give anything more left anyway.
I keep on going over the 1,100 Rand I owe SARS, and I say it publicly, I hate the fact that I need to pay them 1,100 Rand. And I think many taxpayers feel that way because, you know, the reality is that we've been done in and these people are really wasting the money. And, I mean, Financial Planning 101, Mr. President, is a good example of how you explain and unpack what is missing in terms of this economic recovery plan.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, no one likes to pay excessive tax. Look, I think the point you really come to here is that I think what has happened with South Africans, if you press them too much with tax, and they don't see the benefit of that tax, you start to lose the moral high ground of paying tax. And what it tends to do, and this is only not a South African thing, it's a worldwide thing, As soon as you get too strong with the taxpayer, they look at ways of avoiding tax.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't have that benefit. It actually works contrary to what you're doing. I mean, the last budget, or two budgets ago, actually, there was a 20 billion missing, but certainly underestimated.
Mm.
And that was found to be because people are now, you know, not paying taxes really as they used to, perhaps in Trevor Manuel's day, when they could kind of see that, you know, roads were being maintained schools and things were being built up.
And that's the reality of the situation. We're going to have to leave it there. Paul Rulofser is a certified financial planner. Paul, quickly, let's do your punt.
Well, sheepishly, I'm glad you can't see a blush on radio. But look, basically, what I do is on my website, it's Invest for Life, and all our blogs and our chats on the shows over the years have been there too. And you can welcomely land there and leave. It's all free of charge and accessible. We're investforlife.co.za.
There we go, Paul Rulofser, and he'll join us again next Monday.